Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us, and I want to start with a reminder about some additional programming tonight. The high school stuff and baseball subdued a few weeks ago when our last team was eliminated from the tournament. Obviously, school year is out. The next high school sport on tap is high school football. We'll be getting into some of that soon. We're working on a preview show with some of the area coaches and some other announcements surrounding that that we think you'll appreciate. And, of course, we always have game night coverage of multiple games with high school football in Southern Indiana. But in this dead period, in July specifically, we, over the last 4 or 5 years, have covered a lot of the Little League District Championship games from District 5. That's the local district, and that tournament began last week. Tonight, there are some big games in the 12-year-old division, which is the major division of Little League Baseball, which is also the division that later this summer, once the districts and the state tournaments and the regional tournaments have been completed, those 12-year-old teams, the best of the best, will play on the ESPN family of networks from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Of course, the international teams as well add a unique flavor to it. But it all starts with the districts and the local things like what are going on this year. Jeff GRC Little League is hosting the District 5 tournament. And so tonight we'll be there. Lee Kelly and Tom Wendt will be with me. 5:30 is our first game, a doubleheader tonight. We've got New Albany, who has been very dominant. That New Albany team won the state tournament as 10- and 11-year-olds. They are back trying to win it, the big show, the main deal this summer. But first, they've got a really good Silver Creek team and some other good teams in the district as well to contend with. Tonight, New Albany and Silver Creek play each other. Should be a good matchup. Should maybe be a prelude to, I think, the championship game could be next Monday, coming up here in just under a week. So we'll do that game at 5:30. We'll follow that game up with another 12-year-old baseball game this evening. It will be Jeff GRC taking on Highlander Youth Recreation. A lot of the names from these games tonight, they will be the future names for the Bulldogs and the Dragons and the Red Devils and the Highlanders of Floyd Central in just a few years once they continue to move on in their baseball career. So we have had, and I've said this many times on the air, we have had an extremely fun time covering these future high school players and these good Little League programs that come out of our area and often go on to make runs to the state tournament deep, if not win it and beyond. But also, we've appreciated all the businesses. Tonight during the game, you're going to hear a number of businesses that have stepped up to make this extra coverage possible, to cover our expenses, and to make sure that we can do something neat for our local sports community that really, in today's age, I don't know many other, I think maybe one or two times along the trail of covering the local teams in state tournament play, I've seen a radio station from Wabash or somewhere else doing a game, but it's not something you see commonly. So we're excited to do it again this summer. We thank the businesses. You'll hear their names tonight during the broadcast, and we appreciate everybody that makes this possible. We will follow the 12-year-old winner to the state tournament. We'll follow some of the other local winners and other divisions as well. We'll be back at the ballpark, the District 5 ballpark, Friday for the semifinals in 12-year-old baseball. We'll be back on Monday. We'll do a couple different division championship games on Monday. So Monday is like the championship night, unless, and that's knock on wood, that rain and everything else doesn't knock things off course. But that is where it stands now. That's the schedule for now. And we hope that if you can't make it out tonight, and there will be tremendous crowds there. I said this last week, but tremendous crowds for these games tonight. As long as the weather's decent, you get lots of friends and family and others from the little leagues that want to support their 12-year-old teams and other all-star age groups as well. But if you can't for some reason make it, don't forget you can listen here on the Big X 1450 AM, 96.1 FM. We're streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. It's amazing. We go back and look at where people listen to some of these games from. You get grandmas and grandpas and people listening from across the country and at times even across the world. So we are very glad to be back out at the ballpark tonight. It helps us fill some downtime, and hopefully it makes the experience even neater for some of the local Little League kids that get this opportunity to compete in a really good district where this stuff still means a lot. So that's my Little League message today. Join us tonight. We'll be on just before 5:30 from Jeff GRC with what we think will be two really good and interesting Little League games tonight. Tune in, see how your community, your local Little League does if you can't make it out. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today for the Hoosier Report. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot to get to today. Romeo Langford, we've got a couple nuggets from some of the Boston Celtics beat writers that are updating his standing with the team and his injury, and will he play in the summer league? We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, a note on Juwan Morgan. As Utah Jazz began their summer league play last night, we've got some more good news to report in our headline segment as well for some of our local basketball players, specifically a couple Jeffersonville Red Devils, a scholarship offer, another one for Trey Coleman in yesterday. I think he's had six scholarship offers in the past 3 days, other schools calling and inquiring about him as well, and Jacob Jones of Jeffersonville as well, the really speedy point guard. He got his first college scholarship, D1 offer, I should say, last night, and we'll talk about that also. A couple other things we'll get to. Trey Galloway, big IU target, he gets a couple scholarship offers here over the last few days as well. We'll update you on that. And that's about what we'll do in this first segment. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us. Greg, the sports columnist for the Indianapolis Star, he always joins us. We're going to talk some Romeo, some NBA. We're going to talk a couple local things that Greg is working on as well today in our chat with Greg Doyle, which is a lot of fun. If you don't listen to him on a regular basis, you don't quite know where the conversation's going to go, but our chat with Greg each Tuesday is presented by Coffee Crossing, so stay with us for that coming up in the next segment. Later in the program today, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. We're going to really dig into what happened over the weekend from a recruiting perspective, where specifically the IU coaches were positioned. We know some of the events they were at in Indianapolis and in New York, who they were watching, and how some of the big IU targets performed. There also was an unofficial visit over the weekend from a South Bend younger player that's on the radar as well that we'll talk with Mike about. So recruiting, as it does a lot of days in the summer, it will dominate the program, the segment today, with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com when he is with us. That's the guest lineup. Service of Honey Baked Ham. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, quickly, let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll start with Juwan Morgan. Summer League began last night, not in Las Vegas, but in Salt Lake City. It's a smaller league. There's not as many teams as Vegas. I think some of the teams play Salt Lake and then go to Vegas as well. Some may not, but it's a quick one. It's over with fairly soon. I think it wraps up later this week, to be in fact. But the Jazz had their first summer league game last night. They did not win the game, and unfortunately, Juwan Morgan did not get any playing time, any stats, nothing in the line for him last night for the Jazz. So not an alarming thing at the first game of the summer league. If the Jazz go through the entire Salt Lake League or their entire summer and don't play Juwan Morgan, obviously that would be something to be a little concerned about. But I think it's expected that he will log some time for this Utah team in the summer and see how things go from there. But he did not log any minutes last night for the Jazz. A couple Romeo Langford updates. There was a story by Tom Westerholm in the MassLive.com website, which is one of the websites for the Boston, one of the big Boston papers. Some of the quotes from that, some of the notes from that. No live action yet in practices for Romeo Langford. That's no surprise as the Celtics are getting ready for the Summer League. They had said last week that there would be no full contact for him. It sounds like, according to the story, he's been doing some skill work. He's been doing some shooting work with some of the coaches on the side. In fact, there was a picture that one of the Boston Celtics beat writers, and I can't remember exactly which one, but he tweeted of Romeo Langford, and he's sitting with who I believe is one of their assistant coaches or maybe one of their player development people, but he's sitting underneath the basket on the side of the court. There's a big Boston Celtics logo in the background, and the coach has a MacBook, an Apple laptop up, and Romeo's got a ball resting in his hands. Romeo's leaned back, and they're, you can tell, in deep study of whatever is being played on this Apple computer, this laptop computer. So, again, a lot of discussion in these stories about Romeo recently from the Summer League coach, Coach Morrison for the Celtics, from some of the other Boston Celtics personnel, that their goal right now is to get him up to speed with terminology and get him ready for the Celtics for the main NBA season. Here was Scott Morrison, who is coaching the Summer League team for the Celtics. He said, quote, "For the next week or two, it's going to be very light," talking about Romeo Langford, obviously. He continued, "The goal is to make sure he is aware of everything that we're doing so when he comes back in August or September, he has a head start on our system, our terminology." Now, that said, comes back in August or September, it still seems like, according to what's being written, that there is a chance he plays some Summer League basketball in the next week, week and a half, 2 weeks for the Celtics out in Vegas. Nothing for sure. I know if you just read that quote, it seems like, he's done for July. Nothing's going to happen there. He's not coming back fully on the court until August or September, which is long after the NBA Summer League season is over with. So for us greedy fans that are looking forward to getting the first opportunity to see Romeo in a Boston Celtics jersey in the Summer League, if it's in August or September, we're not going to see him until the NBA season. There's nothing else in between those seasons, the summer and the regular season, that are an opportunity to see players participate. So hopefully he can get back. Hopefully he's healthy enough to get back in there, continue to fire that ball up, to work on that shot, to get back to his natural form. But by all accounts, Romeo right now is exactly what you would expect and exactly the way that Jim Shannon and other people that have coached him over the years have described him as. He's a sponge. He's trying to soak up every bit of terminology, every bit of some of the sets, every bit of some of the defensive principles that they have up, and that way whenever he does make his return to the court for the Celtics, he's ready to go. So that's the latest. Not a big update on Romeo Langford. Doesn't sound like a lot has changed. Still not cleared for gameplay or full contact in practices, but it does seem like some progress, and obviously he's beginning to settle in at home, meeting with the staff, listening to the staff, getting directions from the staff, and really studying what the Boston Celtics and their fundamental beliefs and how they're going to play next year are all about. Let's take a look at some recruiting notes locally. Jacob Jones of Jeffersonville, one of the quickest point guards in the area, if not the state, finally got his first Division I offer last night. And a lot of people think he's got all the skill set that it takes to play D1 basketball. He's just a little small. But I think his speed and his quickness and his IQ for the game is able to make up for some of that. And Wisconsin Green Bay, they must feel that way as well because they offered him a scholarship offer last night. They put out a lot of offers to some different Indiana players across the state, I think even beyond. And Jacob Jones of Jeffersonville getting his first Division I offer last night. So good news for Jacob. He is primed, as are the Red Devils, to have what could be a huge season for Jeffersonville in 2019-2020. And, of course, Jacob is the point guard that's got a lot of experience over the last few years in that position for Joe Luce. And as a upperclassman now, as a senior for next season, he obviously will be relied upon very heavily for this Jeffersonville team. A lot of discussion yesterday about Trey Coleman and the number of scholarship offers. I said I don't know if there's a player in Indiana that's received as much attention and as many offers as he has since the Charlie Hughes shootout event in Indianapolis this weekend. Jeff played on Friday and Saturday, and by Saturday night, the offers were beginning to really pick up for Trey Coleman. He previously had had some offers early on, like last summer even, maybe one or two since then, but he's had five or six within the last 48 hours or so. Yesterday, he added another one to that list, Miami of Ohio, the Redhawks offering Trey Coleman a Division I scholarship offer as well. Trey Galloway of Culver Academies, he's got a number of offers, including a battle ensuing in-state between Indiana, Purdue, and some of the other high-major programs. He received a scholarship offer from Georgetown yesterday as he continues to kind of see the footprint of his recruiting and his scholarship offers expand outside of Indiana and even outside of the Midwest. But Georgetown, the latest to pop and offer Trey Galloway a scholarship offer. That offer came last night. That's a look at the headlines, our Hoosier headlines each day, how we begin the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk Romeo. We'll talk NBA. We'll talk Ed Schilling leaving IU with Greg as well, and more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, sports columnist for the Star, with us on Tuesdays. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that the weather has changed and it's warmed up, don't forget you can get all of your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice. Greg, let's talk Romeo Langford, NBA, IU, Ed Schilling, and more in this segment. Actually, let's start with IU. Were you surprised at the departure of Ed Schilling? I know that there was never any real clear explanation, probably will never be, but the press release, the quotes from both parties kind of let your mind, at least mine, wander a bit.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that, especially given that he didn't leave because he's going to be an assistant coach somewhere else. I mean, and I'm sure he will work somewhere else, but it doesn't look like he left for another job. It just looks like he left, and that is weird. Now, the fact that Archie gave a rather glowing quote tells me there's nothing wrong here, because if there was something wrong here, Archie's quote is going to follow him around. So I don't think there's anything nefarious about it, scandalous about it, and let's be very, very honest. This has got nothing to do with IU at all. This is just a blanket statement. When something, you know, weird happens in college basketball, your mind can wander, because college basketball is, again, this is not related to anybody in our state, but just college basketball, well, teams are on trial. Coaches are, you know, the FBI is coming after them. So when something, and I'm not saying that was related to this, but when a coach leaves, you kind of, you wonder, what does that mean? I don't think that, and I wondered. I did wonder until I looked at it and thought, nah, just, I mean, it looks, the fact that, again, the fact that Archie's been glowing tells me he's not trying to distance himself from Ed Schilling. They just parted ways for whatever reason.
You know, I got to thinking, and we've talked about this with different guests on the show since the news broke that Ed Schilling was going to depart Indiana, then it was finally confirmed by Indiana directly. But a lot of discussion, a lot of thoughts, who the replacements could be. Should it be someone with an IU tie? Is that even something that Archie at this point can consider, given that it's July 2nd, there's recruiting to do, there's a lot of off-season work to do? It seems like he needs to get the best available and experienced coach at this point. But with that said, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I mean, Ed Schilling came in with a lot of fanfare. He has a great background in Indiana, a great background as a skill coach, an individual development coach, lots of high school and recruiting connections in the state. So you have a great feeling when someone like that is hired, and when he departs, whether it's his decision, not his decision, leaving on good terms, not leaving on good terms, obviously it does make you scratch your head a bit. But these coaches are around each other all of the time. They basically, in many ways, live together on the road during the season. They recruit on the road together. They're in the office working long hours. They're hosting recruits on campus together. They're in practices together. No one is always going to mesh and get along. It's okay, and I think we forget this sometime. It's okay if, you know what, I work for Greg for 2 years, and, you know, we're friendly with each other. We like each other, but maybe it just wasn't the best working relationship. And sometime it's okay to move on. It doesn't need to leave a black eye for Archie. It doesn't need to leave a black eye for Ed Schilling. And we're probably talking way too much about an assistant coach leaving. But, you know, I got to thinking, with all these guys do, with all the pressure on the line to win and be successful, and the pressure at IU specifically that Archie Miller has felt, whether he would ever admit that or not, just in his first few years here, it's okay if a coaching situation doesn't work out. It's okay if a guy needs to pursue other opportunities. They still can be professional like it appears they have been, and who knows what happens down the road for all parties involved.
True about all that, and I'd circle back to something you said earlier, how does he need an IU guy on his staff, and can he even do that at this late stage in the game? I would suggest that it's possible his best bet to get the best guy is an IU guy, because, now granted, I mean, if you're IU basketball and you're trying to hire somebody, that's a pretty good place to go work. But if we're trying to if we're talking about Archie getting a great coach, not just somebody, I mean, he can find somebody, to get a great coach, to get that coach to leave his school in the lurch right now, because that's what you're going to be doing. That's going to be a tough sell. I think the only way you can probably sell it, and the only way whoever that guy is that's going to come here can sell it to his boss, is, I'd hate to do this to you, boss, but I use my alma mater. I got to go back. So I would venture to guess that Archie's best bet of getting a quality assistant is to stay in the IU family. Having said that, I have no idea who those people even are. And come to think of it, his best candidates probably don't need that kind of help. I mean, Steve Alford, for example, if he'd come, I don't know if he would, but in fact, I'm sure he wouldn't. But I don't even know who the IU guys are out there that are assistant coaches somewhere else. I'm not sure who they are.
Yeah, I agree, and I'd have to think long and hard. Of course, a couple that come to mind, it would be awful hard to see them switching, like Michael Lewis, who I know people would just go nuts in a great way if he, I think at least, if he was hired in that vacancy. But, you know, it was just months ago that he was out of a job because his head coach lost his job at Nebraska.
Yeah.
And he clearly landed on his feet at UCLA with Coach Cronin and his new staff. So be hard to see somebody like that, even though it is their alma mater, even though they have a lot of connections in the state, to depart a program, you know, in the middle of the recruiting season, in the middle of the off season for IU. I would think that would put them in a real tough spot. But he,
you know, I will say, sorry to interrupt you, because I know last week someone someone critiqued and said, why do you like Greg? He interrupts you a lot. But I'll tell you, the biggest reason I do it, and this is absolutely dead serious, is I forget stuff. And if, I mean, you might think this is stupid, but it's just the way it is. If I sit there and wait 15 more seconds for you to finish, which isn't very long, I might forget, because you'll be talking and I'll be listening to you and I'll forget what I was going to say. And I'm damn close to forgetting it right now.
You're the star of the show. You are who we want to talk. So you got something to say, you just cut me off and go.
Well, I'm glad to hear this is the Greg Doyle Hoosier Report. I do think I'm going to sort of backtrack a little bit on what I said earlier, just a little bit. And I do this a lot, and I write this way a lot, too, is I rethink things and think, you know what, maybe something else is going on here. I don't like the timing of this departure, in that it's awful. You know, I mean, it's right when the recruiting, I mean, there's no good time, but after the season's when you do it. Not now, and for him to do it now, and for Archie to let it happen now, for Archie to force him out now, whatever happened, this is a bad time. So if it was simply what you were saying earlier, these guys work together a lot, they spend a lot of time together, and sometimes it's just time for everybody needs a break. Okay, well, you make that decision in April. You don't make that decision in late June, so when it's going to be really hard to replace you. So I don't know. This is I've got no conspiracy to theorize at all, but I will just say this isn't April. This is late June, or it was late June, and that's weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to be really interesting to see, A, how long this takes, this vacancy exists. And maybe Archie Miller's already on top of it. Maybe he's got, you know, and I'm sure he does, some clear direction, at least in his mind, on how he wants to go. But it's going to be interesting to see, A, how long this takes to fill the vacancy at this time, and B, obviously, who ultimately ends up becoming the next assistant coach at Indiana. But you got to love IU basketball. You got to love our state, Greg. And I know this would be true at Kentucky. It would be true at a handful of other programs. When there's an assistant coaching opening, especially in the off season, which is when they happen, normally not this late, but there's so much discussion about this and so much concern from fans, and each set of different fans has different opinions on who it should be and should they have an IU background or is that necessary or not. It's amazing the interest in something like this, and I can compare this to recruiting. It's amazing to me when I'm out and about at a ballpark or a ball game and people say, tell me about this recruit, and they know all this about them and all their scholarship offers, and they've watched their games online. It's just amazing how the IU fan base, and they're not alone, there are others, but it's amazing how this fan base follows some of this stuff.
Yeah, but they're almost alone. I would only say Kentucky compares, and that's not me saying that IU and Kentucky. Now, you know what, Kansas, I'm sure, I've never lived in Kansas, but I'm sure Kansas, we're very similar. I know Kentucky is very similar. I've lived over there. I lived in North Carolina for 6 years. I covered North Carolina, UNC, and Duke, and State, NC State. Covered for 6 years for the Charlotte Observer. They wouldn't be like this. Duke fans, first of all, don't even live in the state. I mean, they're just, those are all a bunch of front runners and Yankee fans. I mean, they just don't, I dismiss them. I just do. But the UNC fans are very passionate, and they care, and there's a lot of them. But they don't, they're not, this is kind of a blue-collar thing to care about. This is really, you got to work hard to care about Ed Schilling. And IU fans are willing to do that. UNC fans, they're not willing to work that hard.
Yeah, interesting, very interesting. Let's talk some Romeo Langford. Let's talk some NBA here before we let you go in this segment. Obviously, no real update. I talked some about this in the first segment today. No real update. There was a story or two out yesterday where the summer league coach for the Celtics, Scott Morrison, was talking about Romeo still not cleared for full contact. In practices, they were really working on some skill stuff that he could do, some shooting stuff that he could do off to the side while the rest of the team was practicing for the summer league upcoming. And a lot of discussion about terminology and getting him in sync with what they want to do on the court on both ends of the floor. In fact, one of the pictures associated with one of the stories, and I can't recall which one it was a picture of Romeo on the side of the court, sitting like in a window seal with an assistant coach or a player development guy or somebody. They had a MacBook, and he was clearly just really enthused with whatever he was showing him. Video, I'm sure, cut-ups of different things, offenses, no telling what they've been working on in practice. But interesting to see that, and even one of the guys, and I'm sorry I can't put a name with this, but I've followed so many Boston people lately, and I don't know them all just yet, but one of the guys that covers the team tweeted out something along the lines is, you know, still hopeful that Romeo Langford gets some summer league minutes. I think there would be a lot of disappointment if he doesn't. So I don't know how closely you followed it, but it still seems like it's way up in the air right now as to whether Romeo truly joins the team and gets some minutes out in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I told you last week, or I guessed last week that he's not going to play this summer. And I'll tell you right now, again, I don't know, but he's not going to play this summer. It's just not the way to take care of Romeo. What's interesting is that he's still not been cleared for the non-contact. That surgery, you're supposed to be cleared by now. You're supposed to be up and going right now. And so what I'm not doing is saying something went wrong. I'm not going there. Where I'm going is that Romeo was said to have, and I mean, his shot looked fine to me, but Romeo was said to have. I had a former college head coach tell me that there was a hitch in that shot, and that may have been the thumb bothering him. But this coach was telling me there was a hitch and it needs work, and Archie just won't do it. You know, it doesn't want to. You know, why would you change a guy's shot in the middle of the season? But anyway, so people that know this better than me say there's a hitch in that shot, and I wonder if maybe that's why we're not, among the other reasons we're not going to see him this summer, is they're going to put that shot, you know, kind of take it apart and put it back together again, and you just certainly don't want a guy playing in the summer with that. I don't know, but for that NBA beat writer to write there's still some hope that he's going to play, I mean, there'll be disappointment. Well, guess what? There's no tooth fairy either, pal, because he's not playing this summer.
Gotcha. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. That would be disappointing. I know many other people are hopeful to get through these lower volume basketball months, for lack of a better term, with some Romeo action out at the Summer League. And he made comments on draft night to a couple of people that was printed that, you know, he was very hopeful that would be the next time he was on the floor in an actual game out in Vegas at the Summer League. So that will be disappointing if he doesn't get to play. But ultimately, at this point, with all the money that's on the line now and his future and a second contract perhaps down the road, getting the best of Romeo Langford, getting him back to full health, is obviously of most importance. Another Celtics note, Kemba Walker joining the fold, and I know there's still some potential movement in Boston, but that is obviously a key piece for them now for next season.
Yeah, now we know who Romeo will be playing alongside. And we also know that Carson Edwards has, you know, got his work cut out for him, not that he was ever going to be the starting point guard, but now he's really not going to be starting for them, and you know, he's fighting for a roster spot. So Romeo will be playing alongside Kemba, and Kemba's said to be, and I don't know Kemba, but he's said to be a great dude, and that's good for Romeo. And Kemba put up similar numbers to Kyrie, but not in the same way. Kemba, Kyrie dominates the ball so much that he's going to get some assists just because, I mean, Allen Iverson got a lot of assists, and no one ever thought of him as being unselfish. He just had the ball in his hands, he got assists. That's kind of who Kyrie is. Kemba's not quite that way. He's more of a giver, so that's a good pairing for Romeo, assuming Romeo spends some time on the court with Kemba. I'm sure he'll play alongside him a whole lot.
Talk about Pacers free agency as well. I have not followed it extremely close. I asked for your thoughts a week ago on the NBA draft class. Of course, when we think about the Pacers for next year, it all centers around Victor Oladipo. But any activity and movement in free agency that has you thinking they've made some good moves to help Victor Oladipo next year, or maybe not?
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I was blown away by the news. Part of it, we were told to expect low all day long. It was like Mark Mark Stein.
Yeah.
Mark Stein, who is apparently such a big time NBA beat writer that I can't remember his name, but Mark Stein, who is a big time guy, was saying that Ricky Rubio to the Pacers has been a done deal for a week, and that's going to happen. And for about 5 hours, I sat there on Twitter like a bad smell, and nobody refuted it. Nobody. Pritchard, the Pacers didn't leak it to someone. That's not happening. Ricky Rubio's agent didn't leak it to reporters. That's not happening. That sat there. So that was happening, and then it just didn't. But the Pacers went from having Ricky Rubio, who would have been fun to watch. I don't know how good he is, but he's fun to watch, to they've got, holy cow, Malcolm Brogdon and Jeremy Lamb, major upgrade from Rubio and whatever else they were going to do. And frankly, this team is a playoff team without Victor Oladipo right now. I mean, not a good playoff team, but they're good enough to get in the playoffs without Oladipo, and he's going to rejoin this team at some point. So I'm very impressed. I'm not saying they're a 1, 2, or 3 seed in the East, but they might be 3 or 4. It kind of depends on what happens elsewhere. But they're better on paper right now than they were, you know, with Oladipo healthy. They're better on paper now than they were with the roster that began last season. And last season began pretty good.
Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. A couple other quick things to get to. You sometime give me tips on stories you think that might be interested in talking about, even if it's something that hasn't actually come online or in the paper yet. And you told me earlier today that you're working on a story or have completed a story that I believe is going online on the IndyStar.com website tomorrow, Wednesday. It's about College Corner, which is a gymnasium that is on the damn line, the Indiana-Ohio line. I've heard about it. I don't know where I've read about it before, but you actually, I believe, went there and have wrote a full story about it.
I have. I went there and saw it, and not to give away too much, but I'll give away the kicker to my first section. The state line, the Indiana-Ohio state line, is half court. How cool is that? So, I mean, you start... The possession starts in Indiana and it ends in Ohio. And back in the day when Indiana was Central Time Zone, you know, a fast break might take an hour if it went the wrong way. I mean, it's a crazy story. And the gym itself is quirky and cool. And I mean, it's just a great, and the town has all kinds. Like there's a dead FBI agent. There's a car 10 feet off the ground sticking out of the school. This story, as mine often do, veers way, 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 way from basketball, but comes back to it eventually.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I love it. One question about that, and if you don't want to give anything else away, that's fine. But are they still playing any kind of games at all, even if it's not a high school game? Are they still playing anything in that gym? Is it used for anything?
Yeah. The school, it used to be College Corner High School, and it had students from both states. Now it's College Corner Elementary, and it does have kids, and they play, you know, elementary basketball. So they're, but nothing beyond, nothing higher than fifth, sixth grade, no.
Pretty cool. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Hey, any, I know we had, and I gave him a shout out, Doc Lee, had the scoop on the gym for, at least a contact for the gym for this Mount St. Francis. And I know you got a lot going right now, but any info on that, or have you dug into that? I had a couple people mention that to me. Some people knew about it. Some people didn't know about it, but, they were interested in seeing if and when that could become something you may write about or cover.
I'm so glad you brought that up. No, but before you called, I want to find at least one more cool story before Colts camp starts. And I was looking through my list of story ideas, and nope, that's not grabbing me. And I, to be honest with you, as I told you, my memory's not good. I'd forgotten about that. Thank you for reminding me, because you did pass along that a few weeks ago when I wasn't desperate. I'm feeling desperate right now. So, and believe me, that story doesn't require desperation. That's a great story. So anyway, I'm going to look into it today. When we talk next week, I will tell you, I'll have an update for you, and hopefully the update is, hey, I'm coming down, but we will see.
All right, let us know. We'll get something set up at Coffee Crossing when you make your journey down.
Chocolate coffee for the win, always.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget Highway 311 in Sellersburg. Portions of that are temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing Sellersburg still open and brewing great coffee daily. Greg, thanks so much. Always fun to catch up. Hope to see you down here soon. No matter what, we'll talk next Tuesday.
I hope so in both cases. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and dig back into some recruiting, back into some IU stuff with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. Mike was at, and his whole team of Pigs reporters was at the Charlie Hughes shootout over the weekend. IU coaches were there. IU coaches were also in New York. I don't know if they were anywhere else or not. We'll ask Mike, and we'll take a look at specifically who the IU staff focused on over the weekend and how some of those targets performed. And there was a visitor, at least one visitor, on campus from South Bend while they were at the event, went on down to Bloomington for an unofficial campus visit. We'll talk about that as well. So a lot coming up, IU basketball, IU recruiting, in the next segment with Mike Pegram. And before I head to a break, don't forget tonight, a Little League Baseball on the Big X Sports Radio will be on just before 5:30. Lee Kelly, Tom Wendt will join me out at Jeff GRC Little League. We'll have Silver Creek versus New Albany, 12-year-old baseball, the main division that goes on eventually to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Later in the night, we'll have Jeff GRC against HYR Highlander Youth Recreation. So essentially, New Albany, Silver Creek, Floyd Central, Jeffersonville, some great rivalries for those kids now and in the future as well as their careers and sports continue on down the road to the high school level. We'll be back with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday edition of the program. The opportunity to catch up for our weekly chat with Mike Pegram of the Pigs.com IU website. And, of course, recruiting will dominate this segment because we had college coaches on the road out at the Charlie Hughes shootout in northern Indianapolis over the weekend. 106 varsity teams, all from the Hoosier State, and basically all of the best players there within reason. There were a few that teams, for whatever reason, did not sign up and did not play this weekend. But for the most part, anybody that we talk about on this show from a recruiting standpoint and anybody that Mike and his team at Pigs.com write about at the event, and it's very likely if they're a serious IU target that the IU coaches were at that event watching them as well. But before we dig in, Mike, to some of the specifics and who played well and really focus in on who the IU coaches got to see at the Charlie Hughes event over the weekend, I think I saw that Archie Miller was in New York for a bit. Where all were the IU coaches at in this second and final high school event, scholastic event evaluation period this weekend?
Well, Archie was in Indianapolis or North, Carmel, Fishers area, both Friday and Saturday, and then went to New York on Sunday. I think Tom Ostrom was there the entire weekend in Indiana. Bruiser Flint was out in New York and Philadelphia, catching some of the guys that they're recruiting out that way. And then the acting third assistant, right, at least for recruiting purposes, this past weekend was Bill Komar, and he was in Chicago checking out some of the guys, and they've had a couple offers in Chicago area players recently, and he was out at an event there. And there was a couple events in that area actually, and he was holding down the fort for the Hoosiers there. So they stay very active, but there was a really strong presence in the event that you just described, the Charlie Hughes event that had over 100 teams.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Let's talk about that event. A little different this year. College coaches there. That changes the feel of things. It's always been a big event in the summer, and how the high school teams in Indiana either close or start to close their summer. Of course, this year it fell at the very end. Now it's a dead period, so teams cannot practice or play for a week. It's been a little earlier in the past, so there was a date change as well. But one of the things about that event, it used to be a tournament, so you kind of had a front runner for high school basketball in the state at the end of the tournament. That was not the situation this year. It just was showcase games played in front of college coaches. But one thing that remained the same about the event is that it attracts the best of the best. It's no surprise at all if you go watch a team play, use New Albany or Jeff or Floyd Central, the locals, for example, Silver Creek too, you go see them play this summer and, oh, well, Trey Kaufman's on vacation, or this player's not feeling great, so he's not going to push it and play when he might during a regular season game. It's, I guess what I'm saying is, kids miss. It's just part of it. Other obligations, other commitments, it's the off season. But the Charlie Hughes event is one where most people that sign up, they only do so knowing that they've got all their guys with them. And so that makes for a really competitive turnout, and it makes it a great event, I think, from a high school perspective for NCAA coaches to get the chance to evaluate. Talk about maybe who you felt like in games you watched and Jeff watched and others there watched that you saw the IU staff focusing on at the Charlie Hughes event. And then the second part of my question is talk about who you felt like maybe had the best weekend, some of the prospects that we talk about that played their best and showed out in front of the college coaches.
Well, the 2020 guys, the seniors to be, Indiana focused on Anthony Leal from Bloomington South and Trey Galloway from Culver. Trey did not play on Friday. His team didn't start till Saturday and played, I believe, Sunday. And Indiana was there for those games. I thought they played okay. Nothing spectacular, but Bloomington South was kind of an up-and-down team. They hammered Silver Creek pretty hard, the team that gave them a lot of trouble at Bloomington South, and then went out the next game and got hammered by a Lawrence Central team that was missing a couple players, including, Dre Davis, the Nebraska commit. And that can happen when you play four games in 2 days. Against really good competition, you'll be up and down, and you might win by a lot that one game and then get humiliated the next. I thought when I watched Lawrence Central play that Nigel Pack was terrific, even though he's committed to Kansas State, but that is one guy I think some of the schools may regret not being more aggressive with. Trey Kaufman had a tremendous week for Silver Creek at 35 points, facing the 7-footer from Hamilton South Eastern, Mabora Majak. Then he had 36 in another game, I believe. Later on, he played really well against Lawrence North. He stepped up, and he looks like he's gotten much thicker and stronger, and ability to score inside is greater than he showed in the high school season. It was a great game between Caleb First and Christian Lander, the two highest-ranked 2021 players. I think that was Friday night, and it went down to the end, and I think Evansville Wrights pulled that out And Christian had a very good weekend, picked up an offer from Florida yesterday. And looks like he, you know, solidified himself as a five-star for the moment because he played well in a Nike event in St. Louis right before that. So he's become a super high target for Indiana, maybe the most demanded, you know, one guy that they made sure they were watching because he played both in Carmel and Hamilton Southeastern, and Indiana made those drives back and forth to catch him. Mike, those are a few of the highlights.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest. Wow, and I want to get back to the Charlie Hughes event here again in a second, but while some of this was going on, I believe after a player from South Bend who's a younger player, I don't know the correct pronunciation of his name, so I've referred to him a couple times as the young guy from South Bend, but I believe he took an official visit to the IU campus. I saw a picture of him and Coach Miller in front of the big state backdrop before he left the visit. Can you tell us a little bit about him? Starting with his name.
J.R. Kanazi, and I'm not even sure that's right, but it does have a simple sound to it that doesn't look like it's spelling. Kanazi from South Bend St. Joseph. It was not I don't think it was an official visit because he's just a junior to be. 2021 player, 6'5", 6'6", same class as a lot of those guys I just mentioned, Christian Lander, Trey Kaufman, and he actually is AU teammate of Trey Kaufman on the Indiana Elite 16 and under team. He has picked up offers from Creighton and I want to say Butler, but he's picked up some real significant interest here this spring because he's kind of a lanky, long arm guy, skinny but kind of wiry strong. He can really score the basketball, but it's taken the coaches a little bit time to get comfortable with. Is this guy really potential high major or high mid-major? And they've kind of made up their minds that maybe he is. And Indiana wanted to get him on campus to stay involved. They have not offered him a scholarship, but are definitely intrigued.
Mike, what is next for some of these prospects that are IU targets, and what is next for the IU coaches? July is not going to be anything like what we're used to, where there are three four-day periods of high-level basketball with the shoe circuit teams dominating that scene, but there are plenty of other, or have been plenty of other tournaments in addition to that stuff for the coaches to go to. A lot different this year. Talking with people at the Charlie Hughes event, a couple coaches and also some scouting people that really track this stuff closely, it sounds like there's a lot of unsure about, I mean, obviously the coaches are going to be at the one weekend, the one that shoe tournaments will dominate July that's still left this year, down from three. But it sounds like there's a lot of unsureness about who really is going to attend some of these NCAA academies that have been put in place to replace some of these travel and shoe circuit weekends because of the style of basketball being camp ball, where the kids are going through drills individually, playing together on teams that basically are assigned at the camp where there's no continuity and no experience between the players. I've heard from some folks that know a lot more about all this than me that some of the key players in the classes that are being invited to these NCAA academies in late July are turning down or not planning to attend, which basically will take an opportunity for them to be seen away. And it's going to be interesting. A lot of unknown right now with all this.
Yeah, the first period will be kind of normal. The Nike Peach Jam, Adidas having its championship in Birmingham, Alabama, and Under Armour in the Atlanta area. But after that, it gets crazy. There'll be stuff out in Vegas, but in L.A., but some of that, I don't think coaches will be going to Las Vegas this year. But at the end of July, in the last evaluation, you'll have four events held, I think, like at campuses, and the Midwest event is at University of Illinois. I do think you'll see a lot of players there from the state of Indiana, just talking to some coaches of those AU teams. I know, like, Trey Kaufman and his J.R. Kanazi, the guys we were just talking about are going to go to that Illinois campus event. I think Christian Lander, but some of the guys weren't really sure about it because of the format. It's not a great format to throw a bunch of guys together. we saw that a little bit at the top 100 camp, but the talent was pretty high there. But the selfishness was prevalent. Guys wanting to show they could handle the ball when they're not a point guard, or guys wanting to shoot the ball when they're not really shooting, you know, is one of their strengths. But they wanted to prove it in front of the coaches, and let itself to some poor play. I thought that, you know, top 100 camp at Ben Davis, kids were a little bit less selfish. I think that it's because the Indiana coaches are better. But it's going to be interesting, especially at the end of the month when we try these new camp situations.
Mike, last question for you before we let you go and close this program out on this Tuesday. We've talked a lot about Ed Schilling departing the program, so I don't think we need to get too far into that. But how long do you expect? Do you have a feel for how long this could take for the school, for Archie Miller, to announce a replacement for that assistant coaching position?
I would think it would take at least, it would be 2 to 4 weeks, my guess. It depends on whether he finds someone that he connects with. That I don't think there's anybody that was already in mind when this departure was announced. So, he'll have to do some of his work during the July evaluation, or maybe that'll push things out to August. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I do think they'll try to focus on somebody who has a proven record in recruiting, either through landing players or getting a school involved with a lot of players, or maybe with his connections with certain cities or AU programs in certain areas. But I do think recruiting a proven recruiter is what the main priority will be, as Indiana looks to kind of complement their ability to kind of bring home some of the best in-state players with. And they really have to do better out of state.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. You can read about a lot of what we talk about more in depth at the Pigs.com website. You can follow Mike on Twitter at Pigs. That's P-E-E-G-S. And Mike, as always, thanks for the great chat, the great info, and we'll talk with you again next week.
All right, man. Look forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Excited for Wednesday. We've got a guy with some local connections. You might remember Kyle Draper, who used to be with WHAS Television. He now is the pregame host for, I believe it's NBC Boston, that has the rights to a lot of the Celtics games in the Boston area. And in fact, I just saw a picture of Kyle where he was at a sit-down, like a Q&A with Celtics fans and some of the coaches, including Brad Stevens. But Kyle is going to join us tomorrow, and we're going to talk about Romeo Langford being drafted by the Celtics and learn a little bit more about the specifics of that team and where things are at with the free agency as well, so we can begin to see what opportunities and who Romeo will be playing very likely alongside next year for Boston. So Kyle will check in with us from time to time, his first chat on the program Wednesday on the show, so don't miss that. Kyle, again, has some connections back to Kentuckiana in his days as a sports reporter for WHAS Television. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday show. Back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And don't forget tonight, Little League Baseball. We've got Silver Creek, New Albany, Highlander Youth Recreation, and Jeffersonville. Those are 12-year-old pool play games tonight, coming up just before 5:30 on the Big X. I'll talk with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.